Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
The firm of Harris and Moran.
Would you want that job, Danny, on the selection committee?
The playoff is here.
Will you ever quit?
No! We want some more! We want some more! We want some more!
With Patrick Harris.
You smile.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football. Football's fun.
And Danny Meringue.
But you need a water break. Water is for cowards. Water makes you weak.
Dispensing sports justice. This is the firm of Harris and Meringue. First round week of the college football playoff is brought to you by video only on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, The Fan.
Hi, friends.
Oh, baby, we made it. Oh, baby, we made it, finally.
By the skin of my teeth.
To the Myrtle Beach Bowl, presented by Engine. I don't even know what Engine is. Is that like a, like, we're just shouting out cars?
Yeah, that's just, yeah. What makes your car go vroom?
Vroom, just shout out cars.
Yeah.
All right. It's like brought to you by milk. And you're like, oh, okay, like milk.
Milk.
Just big milk.
Screw milk.
If you don't think big milk exists, you ain't paying attention.
You're crazy. Absolutely bonkers.
If milk could eradicate two ingredients in the world, I think they would eradicate oats and almonds.
I was going to say water.
You can't drink water. You have to drink milk.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that would go very well. There's a Futurama episode where you can't drink, where water has now become alcohol because Bender has been multiplied so many times that he's now like microscopic.
The little tiny ones, yeah.
And he has changed the chemistry makeup of water into booze. So everybody's hammered, including the newscasters. It's pretty great.
Yeah, no, I know which one you're talking
You know which one? Yeah.
Little million Bender bots. I tell you what, I felt like I was on a Bender last night getting home at freaking midnight.
Yeah, well, again, you know, YPs, MPs.
Ugh, man. Yeah, that's all I got.
I didn't. I did not partake in the bevvies last night because I should have, because everything I was watching on my television looked like they were partaking in the bevvies.
So you're like, everybody else here is too drunk, so I'm not going to participate?
I'll be the sober guy. See, I'm learning. I drove everybody home last night.
No way.
No, like, I drove the Seahawks home and the Blazers home last night.
You didn't actually.
Oh, God, no. Yeah. God, no. I already told you. I don't sign up for that.
Yeah, you'll pay for the Uber.
Yeah, without a doubt. That's my laziness. Whoa. Just turned on this game. It is 34-0 Western Michigan
over
Kennesaw State.
Yeah, Western Michigan scored 14 almost immediately.
Wow. Bowl season's upon us, dude.
We are in the thick of it now, baby.
It is Friday.
It starts today and goes basically until what, January 2nd? We have bowls every day?
Oh, there might be a break, something like there in between. Yeah, I'm not sure. There's a big game tonight.
Is there?
Alabama, Oklahoma?
Is there?
On paper.
Is there?
On paper, it's a huge game.
There is. No.
I don't know if there's anything else. Poor NBA. Is NBA on tonight?
I mean, there are some games.
I bet you nobody's watching any of that.
Let's see. Who do we have tonight? Heat, Celtics, Sixers, Knicks, Spurs, Hawks, Bulls, Cavs, Thunder, Timberwolves. Those are some decent games.
Are any of them going to take eyeballs away from Oklahoma, Alabama?
Just the basketball sickos.
Shout out to the basketball sickos. Well, it's Friday Night Basketball, man. It's on Prime Video.
Yeah, it's Thunder T-Wolves. Thunder T-Wolves and the East game is Sixers-Knicks.
So, yeah, and the NBA, they figured it out because they don't have a single NBA TV game tonight and otherwise no other national programming.
Everybody's just chilling. They know what the deal is.
And what's really tough when it comes to the Prime video games You know, I bitch about this first world problem all the time, is I can't dual screen it.
Mm.
I can't dual screen the Prime Video and the YouTube TV at the same time.
Oh, yeah. They make that impossible.
I have to feel like they could do that with an Apple TV. Like, I have an Apple TV. That's how I have all my streaming packages. That's how I navigate all my televisions. And you would have to think that there's an opportunity within there that you could run multiple apps at the same time. You can't tell me it's not a hardware or a software problem. Well, they have the ability.
I mean, it probably is a bit of a hardware problem because you're running two different OSs at the same time, but...
Yeah, but it's still running on the same overlaying OS. You follow?
To an extent, sure.
Hmm. Someone needs to get on this. I wonder if there's licensing fees involved with that, too.
That's probably it.
Like, Prime's like, nah, I don't want you to be able to dual screen. If you dual screen, it costs this much more.
Yeah.
Yeah, as Western Michigan scores again.
You got to protect your product.
Yeah.
Because that's what you're spending all that money for.
Yeah, that's true.
Are you guys Fallout guys? TV show?
I haven't watched Fallout yet.
Oh, really?
I do want to watch the season two because I love New Vegas.
No, yeah, no. It's the first episode's out, I guess. They're doing the episodic thing.
I hate it.
I'm not a fan of that.
The Pit's about to come out again, and when that comes out, like, don't episodic me, dude. I need that in my veins. Like, I might wait for the whole thing to finish and then binge it.
Yeah.
Because it takes place in a day.
Oh, that's right. It's a 24-hour period, huh?
Yeah. So it's like... Oh, I think it's a 12-hour period, 13-hour period.
Hey, shout out 24 and Kiefer Sutherland, though.
We didn't know how good we had it.
I mean, that was where the truly day-long episodic thing came from.
Well, there was this movie that I saw that I really enjoyed called Phone Booth with Colin Farrell.
Oh, I do remember that.
And Kiefer.
I believe Kiefer Sutherland is the voice
on the other end of the phone.
And it all takes place in a phone booth.
Over like 90 minutes, yeah. What's the other one? There was a Johnny Depp movie, too. Nick of Time.
Oh, I don't think I saw that one.
Yeah, where he got set up.
That's that weird Johnny Depp phase in the middle there where he was like trying to do real movies.
Yeah, like they kidnap his daughter or something and he has 90 minutes to like assassinate the governor or something at this appearance in a mall.
I will find you and I will kill you.
Yeah. Good times.
I ended up just finishing playing Fallout 4.
Mm.
I'm not a big video game guy, so if I start a video game, it takes me like 6 months to finish it.
Sure.
It was all right.
Just all right, huh?
It was okay. Well, I love New Vegas. Okay. I've played New Vegas probably three times.
Okay.
Four times, something like that. So I'm excited to see how it translates.
Did you complete it? Like, not just beat it, did you do everything?
No. I don't have the patience or the skill to do that stuff.
That's the thing with those kind of games that always got me, was that my ADHD brain, the squirrel shiny object thing, I want to do everything at the same time.
Mm.
And then what ends up happening is I'll end up doing like 65, 70% of it all.
Yeah.
And then I never finish it.
I think I got to like 88% in Red Dead Redemption 2.
There you go. That's another one of those games I never finished.
I don't have time for video games, man. I just don't.
Even when I did, I just never finished them.
Yeah, I grew up in a household that I wasn't allowed to have video games. My dad once said to me, why don't you go outside and like read a book or something? Or why don't you go outside or read a book or something?
Mm.
So I said, I'll show you, Dad. I'll go outside and read a book.
How'd that work out for you?
Great. I'm a lot smarter for it.
Are you?
Yeah, and I'm a better parent for it, too.
Mm.
I am. Reading is key, my friend. Mm. Understanding, reading stories and getting your brain firing and the imagination and the vocabulary.
I believe the phrase is reading is fundamental.
Mm.
Reading is good. Good is reading.
There you go.
I know, I'm excited. This year I put together...
I am so smart.
S-M-R-T. I'm very excited this year for Christmas. I actually put together a book wish list.
Mm.
Because so often I get gifted books by people that are like, I think you will like this. And it's like, I do not want to read that at all.
Books that go up on the shelf that you never read. But right. Hey, you put them up there like, that book?
Last year, somebody accidentally left the receipt in one of the books.
Mm.
And I just might have, well.
Oh, swap that out?
Returned all those. Mm. And had like $50 to Barnes & Noble.
Nice.
Which is great because my kids read books like it's going out of style. So I didn't get any books last year. But my kids did.
Hey.
So I just flipped it. And I was happy about that.
I've got a couple books that friends have written that I haven't read yet, and I feel really bad about it.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. It's like, it's not that I don't want to. It's just that they stacked up in the backlog of books that I want to read. And I was like, this is your third.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it's really good. I've read your first two.
Well, and I have a real problem. So there's this guy that I really like that wrote, what is that book called? It was the movie with Oscar Isaac and Natalie Portman in the Weird Area X. It's the Southern Reach trilogy. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he just wrote a new book, a fourth in the trilogy. Mm-hmm. So now it's four books.
What do they call that? A fourology?
I have no idea. It's probably just a series at this point. But it's like a prequel and a sequel. Mm. So you like really need to have read the first three books. And the first three books were great. My problem is that I want to go back and read those three books before I read this book. So to read this book, I have to read four books. That feels a little daunting.
But you can't. I thought reading was fundamental here.
It is fundamental, but I've already read that book.
But you don't remember it?
No, I do, but I'd like to find the inert details, the minute details and stuff.
See, because then at this point, it feels like homework.
Yeah, like, and
which is why most everybody else hates books.
And that's the same for me when it comes to, like, TV shows. I, you know, I mentioned The Pitt, for example. Like, The Pitt, I'm so excited for season two. I'm probably going to go back and watch season one again, just to make sure I remember all this stuff. You know, I do this with Star Wars all the time.
I do that stuff all the time.
When the Mandalorian and Grogu movie comes, it drives my wife bonkers. When the Mandalorian and Grogu movie comes out, I'm going to have to watch the three seasons of the Mandalorian, the season of Book of Boba Fett. I'll probably watch Ahsoka, too, just in case.
Yeah.
And, like...
Why?
Well, like with the new Stranger Things, I'm going to have to go back to when they started in 2010.
Right, right. Because I think it's because I want that continuous storyline.
See, this is why I guess I was lucky in the sense of when I started watching Game of Thrones, it was after the first three seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So, Red Wedding at the end of season three. And I didn't know anything about any part of it. And so I ended up having knee surgery. So, again, I was down for a while. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to start doing this. And it was in the summertime. And I binge watched the first three seasons leading up into the beginning of season four. And then after that, I was good until, you know, the last season when everybody just said, what the hell is this?
Well, there's no material to go off of.
Yeah.
So like, you're just kind of like shooting in the dark.
Yeah.
Shooting from the hip. In your case, literally.
No, that was knee then.
Oh, okay.
So that was a while ago.
I just assume all of your 30 surgeries. It's like, you're like Mark Schlereth. I just assume all your 30 of your surgeries are the hips.
Yeah.
His, I assume, are his knees.
Well, see, mine's the other way. Mine is knees. It's knees first. The hips I've only had two. It's just they were just...
Massive.
Massive. Yeah. I would do all of my knee surgeries again, double, to avoid another one of those hip surgeries.
Oakley Doakley, well, it's a Friday. We got a great show for you today. It's my last show until after the holiday. I'll be back on the 29th. Danny will hold the fort down here on... Excuse me, the 22nd and the 23rd, we have no shows
here at
the Fan on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. I'll be back on the 29th and 30th. Danny will have those days off. And then hopefully we're back together on the 31st, pending how Daniel feels after his
pending
surgery.
Surgical return.
Speaking of surgery.
Yeah, right on cue.
Right on cue. This time it's in your face.
Yeah, in the face.
So that's kind of the holiday schedule for you. So let's take advantage of our last day together, friends. It's a Friday. There's a lot to get to. Oregon has a massive football game tomorrow that we'll definitely deep dive into in the Big Nooner. Talk a little James Madison as well and how they got here. We'll go through all the college football bowl games. We'll look at the NFL playoff previews. Web Gems is hello, Kettle. This is Pot. You are black. We'll get to that at Web Gems. But we'll start with whatever that drunken fest was last night in the NFL as the Seahawks take down the Rams in overtime. We'll go there first. This is The Firm, 105.1 FM and 1080 AM.
In the face! In the face!
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
1018 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it, baby. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. Don't forget, 503-864-6326 is the fan text line. Also, you can join us over on the YouTubes, youtube.com/1051thefan. I need a little help from you guys. I have a white elephant exchange tomorrow with the family, and I've decided my gift is a framed painting of a raccoon in a suit. So he's this like nice little dapper looking raccoon. And I would like to lean into the raccoon theme of the gift. So in there will also be trash bags. But I also need some help on what else should go in there to complete the package.
Yeah, I think you need like a stuffed panda.
Yeah, it's tomorrow. So I got to figure out where I'm going to get a stuffed panda. See what I mean? But
yeah.
Keep those thoughts in. I just need some help for it.
I feel like you can get that at like the most random of places.
Like a Target?
Yeah. You know what I mean?
I mean, we go to Target probably, you know, 8 days a week, so. Mm.
Yeah, like a Target or the old Fred Meyer.
Yeah, just like a random, like.
Or even just, like, we have a store out by us in Tanisporn. Tanisporn is called Amazing Japan, and it's just lots of, like.
Yeah, go to an H Mart.
An H Mart? There's one at the mall.
I bet you they got, like.
Dang, I was at the mall yesterday, too. By the way, woof.
Yeah, how was that?
Woof.
Which one did you go to?
Nightmare.
Vancouver Mall. No, it wasn't a nightmare. It's just I'm looking for a white elephant gift, dude. And there's nothing there.
Yeah.
I had a mall pretzel, though.
Auntie Anne's or Auntie Wetzel's? Anne's.
Yeah. I went to Auntie Anne's. Yeah. I should go to Wetzel's, though. I think it's better now.
Have you ever had, well, it's not true, because I've had one that's like so hard and dry that it.
Yes,
it,
I've had a bad mall pretzel.
But I mean, like, when you, like, have you ever had a pretzel that's not burnt to a crisp, that's not, that doesn't slap?
Pretzels are a pretty easy go-to.
You know what I mean? Like, especially a warm pretzel.
Yeah, they're pretty easy go-to. That's why you see them at, you know, almost every American pub fair restaurant you could go to.
And I you see it on the menu and you're like, no, 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 100 times. And then when you do get it, you're like, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, if we're out at like the old, you know, Applebee's or TGI Scratchy's or whatever, and they got that in the appetizer, that's an automatic for us.
What the pretzels. What's the dipping sauce of choice? Are we a nacho cheese? Are we a mustard guy?
I alternate.
Okay. I alternate as well. I'm a big stone ground mustard guy. Mm-hmm. Put a little horseradish in
there. I alternate, just like my chicken nuggets at McDonald's. I alternate between the hot mustard and the sweet and sour.
Oh, I'm sweet and sour for life, only and forever.
Was that you that didn't, or was it Dusty that didn't know about all of the different sauces they had?
Oh, it wasn't me.
It was Dusty, I think. Yeah, because I
like, really, come on.
I brought it in with all the billion different sauces.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you know that there's like 12 different dipping sauces at McDonald's?
Sure, I don't. It doesn't surprise me.
I was like,
I haven't been to McDonald's in a long time. Barbecue, honey mustard, sweet and sour, ranch. I mean, there's four right there.
Hot mustard.
Hot mustard.
Hot mustard is the way to go.
Do they do the Rick and Morty thing still?
The Szechuan sauce.
See, that was just a limited time for like a week, and you couldn't find it.
They've got a honey. They've got a spicy buffalo, creamy chili.
I've been to McDonald's in forever.
A lot of those are pretty new. It used to just be like your barbecue, honey mustard,
sweet and
hot
sour.
Mustard, sweet and sour.
I tell you who's got the sauce game on lock.
Oh, even ranch took them a while.
Oh, did it?
I believe.
Chick-fil-A's got the sauce game on lock.
You want to know something that won't surprise you?
I'm going to guess that Patrick doesn't go to the Chick-fil-A either.
I do not.
That's like us.
I've never eaten at Chick-fil-A, and I won't.
I have eaten, but we don't anymore.
Yeah, I do not support that.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Danny, you asked me this question when we were getting ready for the show. What game was more drunk last night, the Blazers or the Seahawks and Rams? And I told you the answer is the Seahawks-Rams was like waste management drunk.
Yeah.
Like that, we're just here for a good time. And we're here to get hammed and follow up on that. Seahawks beat the Rams 38-37 in a game that looked pretty much over. I contemplated turning the channel over as the Blazer game had started to kick off and really get underway. And I contemplated, so I just pulled the Blazer game up on my iPad and that slid away with that and kept watching this game because I was like, well, you never know, probably not. And if anything, we can talk about why the Seahawks are probably fakers and not really there. Sure enough, hold my beer as the Seahawks come roaring back. And it leaves me with the question here for you, Danny. I kind of asked you before we started the show. Pete Carroll had a Sean McVay problem.
Mm-hmm.
Sean McVay had no issues with Pete Carroll and his teams. And I know it's at the end of Pete Carroll, his time in Seattle, and those teams kind of roster-wise were also not really where they needed to be. But boy, it feels like McVay has a little bit of Michael McDonald kind of issue. These teams seem to give the Rams fits. Let's not forget, they lost earlier this year by 2 points, and Sam Darnold threw 4 picks.
I mean...
Shout out, happy hour, Luke Anderson.
The McDonald hire was in part because of McVay, because mm-hmm. they wanted somebody who could counter him.
And it's funny that more people aren't doing stuff like that.
In your division?
Yeah, looking around your division, and it's like...
Like, if Mike Tomlin is there, if Sean McVay is there, if yeah. Andy Reid is there, like, if you've got a guy who's been there and gonna be there and not going anywhere, and they're playing a style of ball that is just the ethos of their team... Find some sort of counter to it.
The longest tenured coach in the NFC North, I believe, should be Matt LaFleur.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Lions hired Dan Campbell, you're like, oh, okay, in terms of grit, passion. Mm-hmm. Matt LaFleur tends to be a little more reserved, wants flashy offense, etc. That matches up. But KOC, Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota, Ben Johnson in Chicago, those are like, well, can we just out offense Matt LaFleur
mm-hmm.
to where I kind of like that thought of like, I got to beat Sean McVay. I need somebody that can do that.
And Kyle Shanahan.
So. And they have that in Michael McDonald. And look, I think this is why I think this Seahawk team is so good
mm-hmm.
because, and how am I trying to say this? I think on paper, the Rams are better. And I think there are times with the eyeball test, the Rams are better, especially at quarterback. Matt Stafford is probably the MVP right now. And for my money, I'm totally fine with that. But what's fascinating to me about this Seahawks team is, like I said, they lost by 2 points on a game where they played like garbage. I watched that game, and the Rams were better than them in every facet of that game. Last night, the Seahawks were slightly less terrible, and they won.
Mm-hmm.
And that rings a lot of alarms to me. Now, you can go to the Seahawks side and say, well, but they're still not firing on all cylinders. And I agree, that is a concern. The offense looked clunky at times. I thought the first half, Seattle was really in that game. And then all of a sudden, it was like, uh-oh, this is over. But somehow, they're able to stick with them, even when they're not playing well. And that tells me, if they get hot, they can beat anybody. On the road, at home, you name it. Especially at home.
And the thing about it is that Rams defense forced 2 turnovers
mm-hmm.
and got to Darnold and smacked him around and knocked him around in the pocket.
Cooper Kupp had a fumble.
Yeah.
I mean, a costly one.
That Rams defense was disruptive. It was in the backfield. I think they ended up with like 8 or 9 QB hits with 4 sacks, couple tackles for loss, 2 picks, forced fumble. Like they were demonstratively better, quote, you know, air quotes, in all facets of the defensive game, but somehow Seattle managed to find a way to keep manufacturing points despite not turning them over, despite not getting to Stafford. I mean, Stafford's performance last night,
clean.
450 yards, 3 touchdowns, maneuvered in the pocket, stepped up and made throw after throw after throw.
And found his guy big time.
Good.
Puka Nacua, 12 catches, 225.
Layers that ball to Puka in overtime. It's like, oh, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Seattle marches. I mean, Darnold clutched up, man. You want to talk about, you know, the boys in the morning, they got the Edo drop. You know, shove your hand down your pants, check if you got a pair.
Yeah.
Darnold did, man. Like, he showed up huge. And, like, we can't get this far without talking about this. That 2-point conversion is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen in my entire life.
Rules are rules, man.
Both teams are walking off the field.
I will say I was surprised Charbonneau that
picked
they gave
it, up.
It to him, but yeah, and
Charbonneau picked it up. Those are the rules.
Exactly.
I agree with you, and this might blow up into a larger conversation than it needs to be. But this is a big fundamental problem I have with the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
The rules feel like, now I could be wrong. You could go back statistically and tell me I could be wrong, but it feels like rules are altered, changed, created in the NFL all the time that I can't remember mm-hmm. what's legal and what's not. Sometimes I don't even know what a catch is.
Mm-hmm.
A catch. right? A fundamental play in football. Sometimes I don't know the letter of the law on that. And that's a big problem I have with the NFL. And I think that's why McVay says, that's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. That's why you're here saying that's really stupid. Michaels and Herbie are like, what is going on? Because it can be hard to catch up to.
Two or three players right there that also could have scooped up that ball. And
without a doubt.
And so, you know, Charbonnet was not exactly in a hurry to go pick up that ball, but he went and got it, and that right there was the difference maker. I did last night, I saw them, they put up a graphic on the screen about all-time records for both franchises. When leading by 15-plus points in the fourth quarter, the Rams all-time were 323-1 going into that. The Seahawks, when trailing by 15-plus points in the fourth quarter, all-time 0-172.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
And there was a couple other Rams stats that came out of that. They were teams were 79-0, and now they're now 79-1.
This is probably the best game I've seen since Rams Chiefs opening night. Mm. Remember that one? Was it opening night? It was one a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. That was like a primetime game, and it was like 48-43. This is probably the best game I've seen since then.
I mean, you just had monster play after monster play after monster play, whether it's, you know, the toe tap on the sideline, the throw from Darnold to JSN, Stafford finding Puka 11 billion times.
Couple big runs from Kenneth Walker III.
I mean, ripping off the 55-yarder.
I mean,
Seattle finished almost 7 yards per carry, but 80 of those yards came from two runs, the Shaheed play and then the Walker run. So again, they were able to run the ball well.
Not as much as like when I sat here yesterday, I was like, I want to see this ball run. Mm-hmm. Run the ball. I wanted it.
But they had the explosives.
And that kind of saved them from an otherwise kind of pedestrian night running the football. Mm-hmm. But I thought Charbonnet, Kenneth Walker III did everything they need to. Huge catches by JSN and Cooper Kupp on that final drive. And Sam Darnold, you know, he did what you asked him to do.
Time to nut up or shut up.
And he did. And I give him a lot of praise for that. The most fascinating thing I have coming out of this game is these two teams are battling for the number one seed in the NFC. The Niners control this division because of the Seahawks winning that game.
Yeah.
The Niners control their destiny, and that is
dumb.
So mind-boggling to me. If the Niners win out, they win this division.
What I say to start this year, spin the chamber.
And that chamber keeps spinning. Keep spinning.
Now,
boy, I like this Seahawk team. They are fun.
Seattle does end with the Niners.
And that's why they control their own destiny. Both Seattle and San Francisco control their own destiny. The Rams might be the best team in the NFL with the MVP at quarterback, and they don't control their destiny.
Kind of wild.
Oh, man.
Because they have a Seahawks problem.
They got a Seahawk problem a little bit. You might get some wins, but they got a Seahawk problem a little bit. I am not a Hawks fan. In fact, I've banged on Hawk fans for a while over the years, but this team's fun to watch. They can be a little cardiac. I'm sure there are Hawks fans out there that this team drives you crazy. But, boy, from a non-bias watching it, they're fun.
Style points don't matter.
God.
When was the last time we had a game with 2 two-point conversions from a team?
No idea.
I thought it was interesting, you know, it was the right call going for two because a tie doesn't do anything because you've lost to the Rams already.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So,
and that's what McDonald said after the game. He was just kind of like, not enough time. If they get time, they march down, kick a field goal, it's over.
Yeah. So you got to go for it.
So you go for it. The Kona.
You need the win because a tie doesn't do you any
good. Gotta have the win. And that's what he said. Yeah. You gotta have the win. All right. When we come back, let's slide over out of the NFL into college football. You know, I'm going to ask the question, what happens if Alabama loses? It's not something we always discuss. It's not something you can always count on, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Alabama, Oklahoma tonight in the first of a college football playoff. We'll go there next, but first there's Rest with Sports.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Happy Friday, everybody. The college football playoff has become. The era has become, to quote the great, legendary Jason Sukanik. It starts tonight. You can catch that on our sister station, 910. Alabama walks into Norman, Oklahoma today. Winner advances in the college football playoff. Your reward for winning today, you ask, Danny, is Indiana.
Have fun with that.
Have fun with that. However,
it's a lot of maroon.
However, that is a lot of maroon, red,
you know, crimson.
What is the official red for Oklahoma? Because Alabama's crimson. I think Indiana's just red. But Oklahoma has that kind of almost burgundy.
Oklahoma's crimson.
Crimson.
Crimson and cream.
Crimson and cream. Colors. Okay. I mean, it's no crimson and gray, but whatever. A crimson and white. The question that I have for this game, because honestly, I don't know what to say about this game. Like,
interesting enough, Indiana Hoosiers official colors, crimson and cream.
Really? So we're just crimson across the board here.
Yeah, it's three crimson teams.
Everybody wants to be a Coug.
Which is funny because they're all crimson.
I get it.
But they're all different colors of crimson.
Right.
Because USC is also, or is a cardinal. USC is a cardinal red.
But your red is different than Stanford's red.
Yes.
And Alabama's crimson is different than Wazoo's crimson.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is also probably different from Oklahoma's and Indiana's.
Oklahoma's is way darker than everybody's. I don't know what to say about this game. You know, like what John Mateer shows up. Can Oklahoma's defense repeat a performance they did last time, cause some turnovers? Will Alabama have any semblance of a run game? I have no idea what to say on any of that. But the question I ask is, what's the narrative if Alabama loses? That's four losses. That's you missed the playoff last year. That's you're one and done this year. And you got Michigan knocking on the door for Kalen DeBoer.
What's interesting is nobody seems to really care about this game, even though it's a standalone college football playoff game. Everybody's looking at it from the lens of, well, if they lose, what happens with DeBoer? If that's on the table, Kalen DeBoer, run.
Yeah, no kidding.
Leave now.
No kidding. We've been really hard on that. Like, I really am really concerned about the toxicity that is going on in the Tuscaloosa school grounds.
I
get it, dude. It's the impossible job.
But not only that, I don't want to give us any more credence than it's already been given, but he put out the statement, and instead of this going away, it's just getting louder.
Well, we had Danny Cannella on the other day, and I thought he brought up a great point of it just being, it's just being media-driven. Now, we can always see that, but boy, this seems more. This seems more than just media-driven. It seems more like the SEC doesn't want Kalen DeBoer. Alabama doesn't want Kalen DeBoer. Hell, if that's the case, then that would make me lean and say that ESPN doesn't want Kalen DeBoer there.
Yeah.
Because they're just like, well, then get him out. He can go to Michigan. And then he's Fox's problem.
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden, Kalen DeBoer is a problem? Look, I don't like the Huskies. That's no unknown fact.
Mm-hmm.
Kalen DeBoer is a damn good coach.
Yes.
And he wins big games.
Okay, Penn State job opened up. Who do they want?
They wanted Kalen DeBoer.
Michigan job opens up. Who do they want?
Kalen DeBoer. Alabama job opened up. Who do they want? Kalen DeBoer. Well, they wanted Dan Lanning.
But
they got Kalen DeBoer. He's always brought up.
There's a reason for that because that's how he's looked at. That's how he's viewed.
He is a very, very good coach. I think there are problems within this Alabama team that might be his fault, might not be his fault. But I don't know if you can coach your way out of a non-existent run game.
Kalen DeBoer is doing such a poor job at Alabama that they have the number two recruiting class in the country.
Be careful what you wish for, guys. Just be careful. I don't like Alabama in this game. I think it's an ugly game. Whatever the under is, hammer it.
I'm taking Alabama. It's going to be an ugly game. I'm picking Alabama.
I probably will, too, just because I don't know if I can trust Venables in this kind of game. I mean, the environment will be insane. The environment will be absolutely
Oklahoma's
chaos.
Oklahoma's the home team, and they're a 1.5-point favorite.
That's neutral field. You're a loser.
Yeah. So,
I mean, I think this game falls solely on the quarterbacks.
Yeah, and who do you trust more as a quarterback,
Ty
or Simpson?
Yeah,
it's Ty.
I trust Ty Simpson. Now, big play moments. Like, John Mateer can bust it out, but John Mateer's got a turnover problem.
He's not only that, he's a gamer.
Without a doubt.
Less quarterbacky.
100%.
It's a very, very specific vernacular.
Yeah, there. No, I know exactly what you mean. I watched him, and we loved him for it, because when you're at a small school like that, you want guys. You know, mm-hmm. Zevi Eckhouse was that for us this year. Is he a great quarterback? Nah. But he just makes stuff happen. Mm-hmm. And Mateer has that capability.
And it's a surgically repaired throwing hand.
But because he has that capability, we've seen it all year at Oklahoma, with or without a broken hand, he turns the ball over.
Yeah.
And it's because he's taking the risk. He's doing the Brett Favre type thing, the gunslinger mentality, and that's high risk, high reward.
And Ty Simpson does not.
Ty Simpson does not.
5 picks on the season while completing 65% of his passes.
And I think I watched a game where I saw Mateer throw 3 in a game. So how this pans out, I have no idea. I might lean with you to take Alabama. I'm going to root for Oklahoma for content purposes. I think if Oklahoma wins, then we sit here for a week and talk about what happens at Alabama. And if Kalen DeBoer...
I don't think it takes that long.
And if Kalen DeBoer were to leave Alabama, what does Alabama do?
Well, here's the thing. If it's
every person currently a college coach that they call to get to Alabama, the high-end people, they're all going to say no.
Yeah. If it actually is at Alabama, that it is a dire straight situation if he loses this game. If you're DeBoer, leave.
If they start loading you up?
No. If I'm saying right now, if Alabama behind the scenes is actually signaling that if DeBoer loses this job, he's in trouble, he should leave. Because that's just going to be hanging over. Now, there's always expectations and levels of success at these schools. But if it's hinging on one game, you've already made your decision as a university. If one game is going to decide whether or not you want to go forward with a guy or not, he's not your guy.
You don't think he would be labeled as a quitter if he were to decide to leave?
I don't care. You don't want to be there.
Yeah. That's my biggest concern is
who cares what somebody thinks of you if somebody else is giving you a job?
Yeah, and you're Alabama to Michigan is like, okay, a step down, I guess, technically.
Is it, though?
Technically, it is. It is. SEC versus Big Ten, you're going to take the SEC. Not by much. It's still top and top. Michigan is a slightly less better job than Alabama, but Michigan's a top 5 job in America.
I don't think Michigan's... I think they're the same job.
You think it's straight parallel?
Yeah, I think it's the same job.
A lot of work to be done at Michigan. Less work at Alabama.
Is there, though?
I think so.
You've got more money in Michigan.
You got the number 2 recruiting class coming in, and you don't got... whatever this Sharon Moore thing is.
That's fair.
You got a lot to clean up there. I'm calling it right now. I think DeBoer stays at Alabama, and I think it's Kyle Whittingham at Michigan. I've been saying that since the second Whittingham stepped down. I was like, this reeks of Michigan. Bring him in. Or once we heard about Sharon Moore, I was like, go get Whittingham. He'll stable the program, then go find your young guy.
Because he ain't retired.
He ain't retired. He's in the portal.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the portal. I would die for Kyle Whittingham.
Right?
I would literally do anything for Kyle Whittingham.
Imagine that was your coach right now at Wazoo. How good are
six
you?
6 to midnight.
How good are you feeling?
Oh, I feel great because our offensive line and our defensive line are NFL players.
It's growing out, not down.
Oh, baby. Oh, baby. All right, when we come back, let's stay in the college football playoff. Can Tulane pull this off? Can Tulane pull this off? College football playoffs, stick right there. 105.1 The Fan. I mean, I know Summerall got the Florida job, which is cool, and Chesney got the UCLA job, which is not as cool.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather be the coach of James Madison than UCLA. But it's got vibes like that, and I'm sure in the SEC, if you're listening to Powell or any of those idiots down there, they'll say the same thing, that nobody cares and Ole Miss will blow out. However, no Lane Kiffin. God knows what's going to happen to this roster once they are out of the playoff, or once the playoff is over, however their season finishes. I wonder if the talent gap is still so large that none of that matters. Because tell you what, the team in the similar situation as Ole Miss is the Oregon Ducks.
Mm-hmm.
Lanning ain't going anywhere. We don't know about Dante, but there's no whispers. The NFL really wants him. Mm. The pundits really want him to go, but he hasn't said anything one way or the other.
No.
So there's no distractions. Will Stein, Tosh Lupoy, they're going to other places, but they're still coaching there.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Charlie Weiss Jr. drama. There's no defensive coordinator becomes the head coach and hates Lane Kiffin drama. Is that enough for Tulane to play in this game, or will they just get out-athleted?
I mean, I think they're just going to get beat. They're 17.5-point dogs. Ole Miss, you know, despite all of the disruption, still has everybody, and they're still playing. Why? Because there's a legitimate chance that they could make a run.
Totally.
And how often do you get that opportunity?
I would love to see Ole Miss win a natty simply so LSU has to pay the bonus to Lane Kiffin. Such a stupid contract.
I mean, yeah, Lane's not going to be there, but you've got your offensive coordinator. You've got...
We love Chambliss.
Chambliss is
this
an
show loves
dude.
Chambliss.
Kawan Lacy's one of the best running backs in the country, not named Jeremiah Love.
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
You're not shorthanded on anything. So there's no real reason why you can't go out there and absolutely hang crooked numbers on Tulane. Like, what is the reasoning that... How does you know, David beat Goliath here? And I... Much like JMU, I don't see it.
I don't see it either. And this is said on the YouTube chat, and I kind of agree. I think there's a better chance of JMU beating Oregon than there is of Tulane beating Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Oregon's the best team of all four of them. I think Tulane, as much as I love the American Conference, and as much as I like put my stakes in North Texas,
mm-hmm.
obviously we saw Navy beat Army. Navy's a pretty damn good team this mm-hmm. year. They won 10 games. I love the American Conference, but there's just something about this Tulane team that I just don't love, and I don't know what it is. And
I do.
What?
So they don't have Darian Mensah.
Yeah, maybe. I
Retzloff's been good, but Mensah was really good.
I'd rather have the kid from North Texas.
Messmaker?
Yeah. Although he's in the portal now. Someone's going to pay him. He'll probably go to OK State.
There are some names that are still popping up in the portal, and you're like...
I wonder if Messmaker goes to OK State.
Follows coach.
Follows Morris, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. But look, Ole Miss handled business, and you get a rematch of Ole Miss-Georgia again, which was one of the best games of the season. That's what I'm looking forward to. But
it was. And Lane had him.
Yeah.
Lane had Kirby on the ropes in Athens, mm-hmm. between the hedges. And Kirby's made it.
Ole Miss wins that game. They're a top four seed.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. If they win that game, they probably jump whoever loses the Big Ten title game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Kirby is, on that note of that game and that potential rematch, Kirby has earned every dollar of his contract this year.
Do you find it interesting that Ole Miss, I know that they're six because of Lane and all of the things that come with that. Ole Miss's only loss in the season is at Georgia by a score.
And they dominated that game until Kirby was like, watch out, little man.
That's the only loss they have. Now, again, their schedule sucked this year, but.
I mean, they beat LSU. You know, yeah. they almost beat Georgia.
And they beat Oklahoma on the road.
And they beat Oklahoma. Like, it's not Texas A&M week.
No.
I mean, Texas A&M has a road win at Notre Dame that, according to everybody who thinks Notre Dame should be in the playoff, that's a good win.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great game. I really enjoyed that game, and that kind of announced A&M on the scene.
I don't know, man.
I think there's a better chance that JMU beats Oregon than Tulane beats Ole Miss.
And I don't think the math says otherwise because the spread's tighter.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know, man. I'm just going to mention Pernetti every day. I love Ole Miss, and I want them to be the story here. But I think it'd be super dope if Tulane pulled this off.
I know. You always want that upset.
Yeah.
You always want one of those. And this year we have the chance for two.
Mm-hmm.
So that doubles your chances. Now the chances to begin with are slim.
Yeah,
but if you're going to double them,
the ESPN analytics has the JMU upset, I think, is 11%, and Tulane's at 16%. So,
okay. But I wonder if that's...
You're telling me there's a chance.
But I wonder if that's 16 and the spread back to it is just the Lane drama.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I would think it is.
Because, I mean, roster to roster, Tulane's got a better roster than JMU.
Sure. I just like the way JMU's been playing of late, and I like their coaching staff a lot mm-hmm. better. We'll get to JMU in the Big Nooner. Speaking of their coaching staff, they got dudes everywhere now from JMU. Mm-hmm. And it's not just Cignetti or Chesney.
Well, it's not just that. JMU, I mean, did you see that they're keeping the tweets going?
Yeah.
They did the 5-star, 4-star, and other.
You might as well.
I mean, JMU responded to I think it was Fox Sports had a tweet of all of the you know, prospect rankings, the number of 5-stars on the roster, number of 4-stars, the number of others. JMU social media account quote tweeted with, "Oh man, you Oregon can't keep up with the others because you know the below 4-star JMU are like 105.
We're smoking you in the recruiting trail.
It's like you just can't.
How many 3-stars you got? Not as many as us.
Yeah,
get it. I love it.
But I tell you right now though, the last crop of 3-stars, those others that followed Cignetti to Indiana, guess what?
They could win a natty.
They're dudes.
Dudes. We'll get to James Madison and Oregon in the big nooner as we get ready for the college football playoff window. Let's put a little hold on college football playoff. We'll get to that in the nooner as well. We'll talk a little Cristobal and can he get over the hump, what he'd have to do to change the narrative on him. I don't know if there's anything from up here in this neck of the woods, but we'll see what he can do to change his narrative on the national level. Let's get into it. The Blazers beat the Kings last night. Boy, it wasn't
Did
pretty.
They?
It wasn't pretty. Styles make fights? Question mark. No points for good behavior? Question mark. Hour number deuce coming at you next. 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.